Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm getting to know the Brother Randy and Miss Christie closer. You know, you might not see me ever again after spending some time at their house. No, seriously, I'm so serious. It is such a blessing to be able to be a help to you guys, and I don't think I can express what a help it is to me to be able to come here and get a blessing from you all. So we could go on forever about it, but I really appreciate it. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Today, I'm going to be going over the subject of backsliding. And the majority of Christianity seems to have a false perception of this term, backslidden. And there are some Christians and some denominations that believe that you can backslide out of your salvation. And that is a false doctrine. That is not true. When you are born again into God's family, you are saved for good. There's a lot of things that I can do that would make my father unhappy with me. There's a lot of, my physical, earthly father here, there's a lot of things that I can do that, you know, might make my dad not want to talk to me. There's some things I could do that would make my sisters not like me, but it doesn't matter what I do, I'll still be in their family. There's nothing that they can do about that blood relationship we have. And when you were born again into God's family, you were sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can do to get out of that family. And it's even stronger than the physical bond that you have with your parents. And so, of course, I just wanted to lay that out. You cannot backslide out of your salvation. There are some Christians who believe that to be backslidden means to be out of church and living like the devil. And, you know, they might be, that might fall under the right category there. You might be backslidden if you used to be in church and now you're outside of church. But this morning, I'm here to talk to you about something a bit different than that, something a bit deeper. To be backslidden, I think you can be coming to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and Wednesday night and still be backslidden. And somebody said one time that if you can think of a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now, then you're backslidden. And to me, that's the best definition I've ever heard. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Because there are certain things that happen in life, and sometimes we're in a lot of trouble, and so we get real close to God. Because we have to hang on to Him. And then when things go back to normal, well, we go back to normal. And the problem with that is to be a normal Christian in this day and age is not where you want to be. Somebody said that the state of Christianity right now is that if you are... the state of Christianity is that the Christians are so below average that if you actually are average, you're considered above average. If you're just doing your regular duties as a Christian and opening your Bible in the morning and praying and going to church, then you're considered a fanatic. And that's just the state of Christianity that we're in nowadays. So that being said, today I'd just like to talk about what it means to be backslidden and maybe how you can avoid it. So Matthew 26 here, I'd like to draw some things out of this passage, Matthew 26. We'll begin reading in verse 69. Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with this story. It's a very popular one in the Bible. This is the story of Peter denying Jesus Christ. And just to give you a bit of a backstory to what's going on here, just the last chapter, Christ has gone up into Gethsemane with James, John, and Peter. And they were there praying with God, praying with Christ in that garden. And what happened was, you know, they were falling asleep, those disciples there. And Jesus was, after he had finished praying, Judas came along with some Roman soldiers. And they were there to take him away. And Peter took out his sword and he swung at that guy named Malchus and he took his ear off. And Jesus Christ reached down and he took that ear and he put it back on Malchus and he said, "Not now, Peter." And then these are the next things that happen here. He's betrayed, of course, and then he's led to Pilate to be questioned. And so that's the things that are happening in the background here. So we'll begin reading in verse 69. Verse 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, if you would, I pray that you would be here with us now this morning. We don't deserve you again, and we don't deserve that you would come and spend some time with us, but we have your book, and you promised us, Lord, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst of them. And so we believe that, Lord, and by faith we want you to just spend some time with us here and maybe speak to us through your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so the first thing that I'd like to point out in this passage is the position of a backsliding Christian. The position of a backsliding Christian. Matthew 26:69 says, Now Peter sat without. And in Luke 22, the sister passage of this, you can turn there if you want. Luke 22, verse 54, it says that Peter followed afar off. So Jesus has just been betrayed, like I said. Peter was right there with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was right close to him, and then something happened. And so my question is, what was the thing that put distance between Peter and Christ? He was right there praying with him in the garden. He was even defending him with that sword. And then suddenly, Peter is following afar off. And suddenly, Peter's without. The word without means, you know, outside of the situation that was happening there. And you might say, well, maybe it was the fear of man. You know, maybe Peter's issue was he was scared of the repercussions of being associated with Christ in that moment. I can see that being maybe a case that you could bring. I think about Christians, and that's a problem that a lot of Christians have. Christians want to pick and choose when to be a follower of Christ. Christians want to, you know, on Sundays they come in and they're a Christian, but on Mondays they're an American. And on Tuesdays they're a Baptist. And on Wednesdays they, you know, they're a Trump supporter. And the problem is that the Christian life is not supposed to be lived that way. You're supposed to be a follower of Christ all the time. And I understand that you can be, you know, those a couple of those things at the same time, but what I'm getting at is if you put any position in your life before your following of Jesus Christ, then you're not a Christian. Christian doesn't mean saved. Christian doesn't mean born again. It means you're a follower of Christ. And so I can see maybe that being a trouble that Peter had, because Christians have that trouble. But if I'm being honest, Peter doesn't strike me as that kind of person. If you know the character of Peter and you read about him in those Gospels there, he doesn't seem like the kind of person that would be scared of men. I mean, he just tried to take on a whole Roman platoon by himself. Those aren't the actions of a man who is scared. No, I think Peter had a different problem. In this same chapter here, a couple of days earlier it would have been, but Jesus had to describe to his disciples what was going to take place. He described to them that he was going to be betrayed and that he was going to be killed and crucified and that he would have to rise again. And you know what Peter's answer was when that happened? Peter said, Not so, Lord. He said, I'll never let anything happen to you. And so what that shows me is that Peter had some preconceived notions. He had some preconceived ideas about what should have taken place in that garden. And God didn't meet them. And he was unhappy about it. You can hear it in his voice in the rest of the passage. He's angry. He's frustrated. He was mad. And I think Peter had a problem with the way that God handled the situation. And that's the only thing that makes sense if you look at the passage and you look at Peter's character. And I see Peter back there kicking rocks, following afar off, kicking rocks, you know, angry at how God let things happen and how the situation unfolded. And as Christians, sometimes we have a problem with the way God handles situations in our life. And as Christians, sometimes we're not completely in tune with what God's got going on, and that makes us mad. And that'll put distance between you and Christ. If you're not ready to follow His leading and not ready to, you know, just be in line with everything that He's got going on. Because God doesn't look at things the way me and you do. Seriously, God is not a man that He should lie. God's way of perceiving situations pretty much never is the way that we're going to see them, because He's got so much more going on than what we see here in the physical. And to be honest, that seems that that's what put the distance between Christ and Peter, but I'm not sure what's putting the distance between you and Christ this morning. Only God can know that. Maybe it's the fear of man, like I was talking about. Maybe it is something like you're having trouble with what God's got going on, and you're not in line with the things that He's got going. But only you can know for sure exactly what. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe you've got some arrogance in just the way that you speak, and that's just putting that bit of difference there. And it's not turned into a big thing yet. It's not a huge deal yet. But there's just a bit of distance. And so Peter's position was afar off. It was without. The second thing I'd like you to notice here about somebody who is backsliding, who is on the path to that, is his condition. The condition of a backslidden Christian. In verse 70 it says, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And then when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man." Now I understand that Peter said that out of frustration and anger. I understand that he didn't mean that, but it was partially true. You see, because if Peter really knew who he was dealing with, and if Peter really knew that, of course, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he knew all the details of that, Peter wouldn't question how God handles things. Of course not. It would be ridiculous to question the God of the universe on how He has decided to handle a situation. And if he had humbled himself for a second and realized that he didn't know better than God, maybe he wouldn't have questioned his decision. And Christian, if you remembered who God was in your life, then you would realize that you have no business running it. You'd realize that your plans and the things that you have going on are not important compared to what God's got going on. And what you should be doing as a Christian is trying to get your plans and your view in line with Christ's and in line with God's plans for your life. And the main reason that Christians get backslidden can be put very, very simply. You don't know Him well enough. If you knew the lengths of what God did for us on that cross, and if you knew, I mean, I shouldn't say if you knew, because it's more like purposeful ignorance. You can know. It's not hard to understand. The problem is our hearts, like I was talking about this morning. And if you understood, and if you spend some time really searching out that God has, He knows what's best for you, then you wouldn't let distance come between you and Him. You wouldn't allow pride to get in the way of your walk with the Lord. And, you know, you look at man's creation and the way that man constructs things. And everything that man makes, if you put a microscope to it, and you get the closer and closer you get to it, the more faults that you see with it. Anything. Take anything that man makes, the closer you get. You know, I work on houses. I do construction. I'm a painter and I'm a mudder. I do all kinds of stuff like that, just handyman work. And the closer you get and the more you see behind the walls of a building, the more mistakes you find. You put a light on certain things. I mean, this wall here, it looks, you know, pretty nice. If you took a light to it and put it in the right place, you'd see all kinds of imperfections in this wall. But the closer you get to the things that God has going on, the more design you see, the more purposeful and specific design that you see. And if you would get in line with what God's got going on in your life, if you would be able to take a microscope and understand all the aspects of what God's working out, you'd realize, wow, this does need to happen this way. Maybe He's working for Him to get glory in a situation. Maybe the death of a loved one is going to lead to somebody else getting saved at the funeral. And I've seen that happen a lot of times. And I'm not saying that somebody has to die every time. It doesn't always have to be something bad, but maybe it's just something that you don't understand, and yet God's working something out completely different. if Peter knew that Jesus had to die on that cross to take away Peter's own sins, you think Peter would have a problem with that? I understand it must have been sad to see Jesus die. Peter was close with him. But if Peter knew that Jesus had to die so that me and you could walk with him and me and you could have the relationship with God that we do, I highly doubt Peter would have had an issue with it. And you need to start looking at things the way God is. And so I see Peter there, and he's afar off, and now he's in this condition here where he just really doesn't know Jesus the way that he should have. There were some Old Testament references that talked about the prophecy of Jesus Christ having to die. Isaiah 53 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." You see, if Peter maybe had spent some time studying those older scriptures a bit more than he had, then he would have known those things. Next thing I'd like you to notice is the backslidden companions. In verse 72, it says, again, he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And 73 says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by." You know, as you backslide and you get further away from the Lord, you'll find your companions being they that stood by Christians. Christians who are standing by the spiritual battle that's going on. You know, those people that Peter was sitting around with were just watching from the sidelines as Jesus Christ was led up to be crucified. And Peter wouldn't usually associate with that type of person. Peter wasn't usually associated with they that stood by, but if anybody would have walked by that porch, they wouldn't have seen the difference between Peter and those people. They would have just looped him up with them. And the problem with that is that there is a huge spiritual battle going on that you can't see with your eyes. And if you remember Jesus Christ dying at that cross, in Psalms it says that bulls of Bashan come past about Christ. And those bulls, I'm not going to go into all that, but that's a type of a spiritual, intense battle that Jesus Christ was facing. In that garden, before Jesus Christ was ever whipped once, it says he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was so spiritually compromised in that moment that he was sweating blood. And that's the spiritual battle that's going on around you. You don't have to be involved in it. You can be sitting around with they that stood by. You don't have to get involved in the spiritual battle that we know as the Christian life. But be not deceived. It's happening. It's going on. You can be without. You can stand outside of it all you want. You can turn your eye to it and say, "I'm not going to pay attention to it." But in reality, there are things going on, a spiritual battle going on inside your very heart and your very life that you ought to be paying attention to. And you'll find yourself being surrounded by people that are not in that spiritual battle the way that they're supposed to be. The Bible says, a companion of fools shall be destroyed every single time. If you're hanging around fools, you're going to be destroyed. It's birds of a feather flock together every time. If you see, you know, you tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future, that kind of thing. There's all kinds of phrases about it, and they're true. They're biblical. And if you find yourself, if you can take a look at your friends right now and you can say, these people are not walking the spiritual walk. And if you can look at the people and say, you know what, these people are not fighting the spiritual, the Christian battle that they're supposed to be fighting, then maybe you should not look at them, look at yourself. Don't start shining the light on them and start pointing out their imperfections. Maybe you should take a look at yourself and say, all right, what am I doing that I'm not supposed to be doing? Next, I'd like to talk to you about the culmination, the backslidden culmination, verse 74. It says, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. The word culmination means that things will come to a head. Things will get to a place where you'll backslide to a point where there's not further to slide. And I have no idea what that rooster sounded like, but that must have been the most ungodly, terrible sound that Peter ever heard. He had realized that he just betrayed the Christ. He realized that he just betrayed his friend. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 talks about how there is a sin unto death for the Christian. You can get far enough away from God where he just has enough. And I'm not saying he's going to kill you, but maybe he'll just destroy your reputation to wake you up to some things. Maybe he will, put something in your life, a chastening in your life, that's not going to be joyous, because he wants to get you closer to him. It's not a punishment as much as it is, if you can respond right to this, then I'll use it so you can get closer to me. And that's what he's looking for in your life. Maybe instead of anything else happening, maybe one day you'll hear the sound of a trumpet, and that same look of despair and fear that came over Peter's face will come over your face. And you'll realize that you're out of time and that you have wasted and denied Christ your time. You've denied Christ your efforts, your thought life, your money. And you'll look back on your life and you'll hear that trumpet sound. And instead of it being a good thing, instead of it being something joyous where you're excited to see Christ, you'll have to be fearful and you'll have to say, wow, I just wasted all my time and there's nothing left. And you'll remember the words, like it says in verse 75, you'll remember the words that you heard in some preaching, or you'll remember some words that you read over in your Bible that talked about if only you just give your heart to the Lord. And you'll come to a point where you'll need to make a decision. And Peter came to that point. And you see, what Peter did after the rooster crowed was the most important part of this whole story. Because now God has presented him with something. He finally is realizing the state that he's in as a Christian, and that he is slidden back from his walk with the Lord, and he's sitting afar off. He's realized it. And now he has a decision to make. What is he going to do now? And you might say it was the reason for everything, because now Peter was in a position where he could get right with God. And you read about Peter after this story and into the book of Acts. Peter was closer to Christ after Jesus had left the world. In the book of Acts, he's preaching to thousands of people. I think something like 2,000 people got saved there at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And you see Peter, just scripture flowing out of his mouth, scripture that he never quoted before, scripture that just came naturally to him in Acts chapter 2, but that he wasn't thinking about here in Matthew 26. And Peter changed because he understood what had gone on. And in verse 75, it says, he remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When was the last time you cried over the state of your walk with the Lord? When was the last time you cried over the distance that you've put between you and Christ? Because if you're anything like me, and we're all humans in here, then backsliding isn't something that happens, you know, once in a while. Sometimes it's a daily thing where you just slide back a bit and you decided not to read your Bible that morning, or you decided not to pray that morning. And you need to get that right all the time. And Peter here cried over that. And if you're backslidden in here, or if you're sliding backward in your relationship with God, then it's your turn to make a decision. It's your turn to make a decision whether to actually get in on this fight that is going on, the spiritual battle that's taking place, or if you're going to just let it alone. God talks about in the scripture how I would that you be hot or cold, but if thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm Christianity is something that God is not okay with. He's not happy with that. He doesn't want half-hearted Christians. He says, I would rather you just leave church. I'd rather you just get out and get in the world and let the sin get to a point where you realize that you need to get back and get close with him. Then he'd rather that than you just staying in church and being half-hearted here and half-hearted there. He'd rather that. And we have an amazing example of Peter, but we have to remember that for Peter, this only took a few days, the way that this happened. This whole story unfolded over a very short amount of time. And there are some Christians who spend their entire lives in this loop here. Their entire lives just kind of sliding back. And they find themselves away from Christ and don't care. And like we were talking about this morning, this can all happen inside your heart. This whole scenario here that I've explained to you that's taken place in Peter, that can happen and nobody else know about it. Your closest friends and family can be oblivious to it. There are pastors who are in this very loop. And they preach on Sunday mornings. And you would have no idea. And then some things start to show. Some little things here and there, you're like, well, that's not right. Or that's not, doesn't seem to be the way that the Bible says things should work. And you'll start to notice things. And chinks in the armor will show up. And then, like I said, things will come to a point where it explodes. And that rooster crows. Have you ever had a rooster crow in your life where God was just like, you've got to stop this. Whatever sin, that besetting sin you're involved in right now, he was like, you're done. That's it. And so what I pray for you this morning is that you can get to that point before the rooster crows. Before anything sounds in your life, you can get to the point where you realize your condition and that you need to cling to him more than anything. And again, well, I'll keep referencing this, but your life is not yours as a Christian. And if you're not okay with that, then don't be a Christian. Find another religion where your life is yours. Because the Bible says that your reasonable service is to present your body as a living sacrifice. And if you're not okay with that, if you can't get in line and present your body on an altar where you should sacrifice your desires and your wants, then the Christian life isn't for you. You see, Jesus Christ, when he came, he wasn't trying to build a church. He was trying to find people that were serious about following him. And so the scripture is not going to, the scripture is not for how many people that you can get in church on Sunday mornings. The scripture is not out here so that we can have a number on that board over there that is over the other churches in town. The scripture is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And God will come in this room and he'll discern between you and he'll say, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. And it's not about the suit you're wearing. It's not about the polo shirt. It has nothing to do with the dress. It's your heart. And until you get that right and until you get that straightened out with God, then he won't talk to you. That's the most important thing. It's not about your pastor's wants. It's about God's wants, and it's about how you can hear him. When was the last time you heard him talk to you? I'm serious. I mean, that book is an amazing book that's alive, and he can actually speak to you through it. Seriously. I'm not talking about church stuff. I'm not talking about this Baptist religion that we grew up in. Most of us in here, or maybe some of us. I did. I'm not talking about the fake stuff. I'm talking about a real, actual walk and relationship with God. When was the last time you heard him speak to you? And if you're backslidden in here, it's time to get things right. It's time to get serious about this life. Or go the other way. And so I pray for you this morning that maybe Peter's example here can lead you to a point where you can change that behavior. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. I want to show you here the difference in Peter after this story. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And he goes on and he quotes scripture for about the entire chapter there. And it says in the last part of the chapter that verse 41, then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You see, Peter wasn't after numbers, but God will get results when you commit your life to Him. God can get results in this world and this life out of one man. And He's looking for you this morning. And He's the only one who can restore you. He's the only one who can draw you in. And at the end of the book of John, it talks about how Jesus is there with Peter and He says, "Peter, lovest thou Me?" And then He says, "Feed My sheep." "Peter, lovest thou Me? Feed My lambs." So do you love the Lord in here this morning? If you love Him, then you're going to make sure that you don't let that distance come between you. You're going to make sure that you know Him for who He is. And you're going to make sure that you stay right before that rooster crows. Let's stand for prayer.